Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
So we have to take inventory of our own life. We must look at our own commitment. We must look at our own obedience to God's Word, our own dedication, and at times even our own sacrifice that we have to make. And of course, we have to look at the crucifixion of our own flesh. Crucifying our own selfish desires. See, those desires that are not of God are the little foxes that destroy the vine every day. If we do that, I think we'll find it's more the things that we neglect. The Bible talks about a sin of omission. Leaving out that which we know to do, instead of going about the work of commission that God's given us. So easy to stand and say, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Lip service. But it's another thing to get out there and do what God's commissioned us to do. Win lost souls for the kingdom of God. To be able to do that, we have to be committed. And we also must consider this, that there are times that even though we have done all we know to do and as faithful as we can be to God in His great wisdom, He will allow the testing of our faith. No. If God didn't test our faith, we know we're faithful. Your faith has to be tested. But if your faith is anchored in Christ and Him crucified, you'll pass the test. And if you're a believer that's failed the test, guess what? You got to take it again. God doesn't kick you out just because you failed the test one time. No, you'll have to bow up because He's going to give it to you again. Maybe it'll be a little harder this time. But He's going to test your faith. Because the only thing, the only prayer He hears is a prayer of faith. So we have to pray with our faith anchored in Christ Jesus, because that's what accomplishes those things in life that we desire and that we want. Or that when the test comes, Lord, Lord. You see, God has already drawn the line for us in the test, just as He did for Job. He allows the test to go so far. And then He says, Satan, you can't cross over the bloodline. And the more you're faithful in taking the test and passing the test, the stronger you'll be in faith. When your faith anchored in Christ begins to produce for you those things that God wants in your lives, your faith becomes stronger. Just like this morning, we saw Mackenzie testify. You know what happened after she realized how short life was? A young lady here, 18 years old, going to this funeral and seeing what has happened to another young lady, realized how short the time is and how important it is to have our faith anchored in Christ Jesus. And the moment in the twinkling of an eye, not only are we going to be resurrected, but we could be dead.
That's
And until we get to where we realize that, we're only one breath away from death.
That's right.
Amen.
And if you don't have that faith, when death takes you that quick, it's too late. It must be faith in Christ and Him crucified. So to determine whether or not it's a test of our faith or the failure on our own part to be faithful, we have to take that inventory of ourselves. Taking inventory of somebody else's life's not going to help you do what you need to do. Oh, you have to look at yourself. The man in the mirror. That's what you have to see. What am I? Who am I? And when you settle that, then you're ready to be delivered from the valley of despair. But not until you've settled that. That's when He begins the restoration process. That's when you begin to feel the presence of God. That's when you begin to know that the Holy Spirit is working in your life to bring about the will of God in your life and restoring you to the place God wants you to be. Even though we are moved sometimes to tears and great emotion feelings because we love people, we love our family, we want them saved. But we can't let that draw us down in doubt and fear. What you're doing is being strong for them. He begins the restoration process. We had a lady years ago in the church. She had probably a dozen kids, I don't know. Back in the old time, people liked big families, you know. And she would pray every day for the salvation of her children. But her children were wild. She got saved, but they didn't. They continued to live the life that they lived, and she prayed for them every day. More than once a day, probably, because she cared. And she would testify in church that she was praying for her children to be saved. And she died without seeing any of them saved. But it wasn't long after that funeral till this one got saved. And that one got saved. And another one got saved. Huh?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You don't know what you're planting when you plant the seed of salvation and prayer into somebody's life. Don't get despairing. Don't get discouraged. Oh, she loved her kids and she prayed for them and she wept for them. But she never stopped. She didn't live in the valley of despair and give up. She kept praying for them. And many of them today are in heaven because Mama prayed. And she didn't give up. And I'm sure she was very desperate at times to see her children saved. He begins his restoration to the soul, and it's not always the beautiful words of the psalm that we read. He begins it with a symbol of chastisement. Oh, we don't like that word. Chastisement. He said he chastens the ones that he loves. In other words, he has to sometimes punish us. That's a word we don't hear anymore. Nobody punishes their children. They give them time out. Boy, that really helps them, don't it? Time out. Go sit in the corner and play games on your phone. Ooh. Yeah, that's real discipline there, ain't it? And we're guilty of it. Oh, not just one. Oh, no, chastisement. He said he chastens the one that he loves. But you see, the shepherd of the old day knew about chastisement. He took care of his sheep. And I read this story in a commentary about the history of the shepherd back in the day when they would have herds of sheep and they'd have to look out for them every day. And there would always be one that would go astray. You know, one always goes astray. I was on the farm years ago when we were having breakfast with a gentleman who had six children, six boys. And he was an older gentleman at that time. And we were talking, they were talking, I was just sitting there listening. I was too young to talk about kids. And he said, I had six boys. He said, five of them I put through college. The last one I put through the kitchen door. A man of discipline. A man who knew what it was. But that one little sheep that would go astray, the shepherd would always have to go hunt for him and always go find him. And he finally got to the point where he took that little sheep and with his staff, he broke the front leg of that sheep. He said, that's cruel. No, he took the little lamb and he would set his leg with a splint. And then he carried the lamb on his shoulders until the lamb was healed. Discipline. I bet you when that little sheep finally got back to the herd, he stayed there. I mean, sheep are dumb. But I bet he was smart enough to stay with the crowd after that. What about us? Oh, he's the shepherd, we're the sheep. Could it be that sometimes he needs to break a leg? Ooh, not mine, Lord. His, hers, not mine. In our case, God uses the potter's wheel. You know the story of the potter's wheel. Let me hurry along if I can. I do everything slow now, you know. If I get in a hurry, I get in trouble. I was telling these folks out here the story. Years ago, when we were young, my wife might remember this, there was a preacher who was about 80 or 81 years old come and preach for us in the old church on Cutting, North Cutting. And he came from Wisconsin. Green Bay, Wisconsin. I remember the name because of the Packers. And he got up and he thanked everybody for allowing him to come and preach. He thanked the preacher and he said, I'm just so glad to be here with y'all today. He thought for a minute and he said, on the other hand, I'm just glad to be anywhere today. Huh? That's what we are, glad to be where we are today. But God uses the potter's wheel as a symbol of how he deals with us. You know the story. It begins with a marred vessel. That means a vessel that is already there, already in church, already supposed to be doing right, living Christ, living for Christ, doing right. And in that valley of despair, he says this, there are many things that destroy the beauty of the vessel. If we allow it, there are many things that will destroy our vessel. We are vessels unto the Lord. And the Bible says, some are vessels of honor and some are vessels of dishonor. Now, that's a judgment you have to make for yourself. But he does that, and the beauty of it destroyed, and that's when it has a vessel that is marred, and God wants to make that vessel beautiful again. Well, he don't just deal with the scratches or what's marred on the vessel. No, What does he do? He takes the vessel and he crushes it. Oh, man, that's got to be painful, huh? He takes that vessel, he crushes that vessel, and he puts it back on the potter's wheel. And the potter makes a new vessel. The potter, of course, is Jesus Christ. He makes a new vessel. But all the pain, huh, that the vessel went through, because they allowed the vessel to become marred, all scratched up, all beat up, living in the valley of despair. And they get so far out, God has to use his discipline again and his chastisement, and he brings them back in. And sometimes the sorrow and the hurt of the marred vessel is almost more than we can stand. But he puts it on the potter's wheel. And he begins to make a new vessel. And when he's through with that vessel, it comes forth as a vessel of honor. That's the purpose of of us having to go through the valley of despair. That we can come through that as a new vessel, a new person in Christ Jesus. But oh, the pain and the sorrow. See, in the valley of despair strips the beauty and the honor from the vessel. But he doesn't give up. He hears the cry of the sheep that's lost. He sees the marred vessel. He never gives up. He reaches out and he receives it, brings it back. He can't restore it, in a marred condition. No. He don't just take the scratches. He don't take the broken pieces off. He brings the whole vessel in. That whole lump of clay. And he begins to work on it again. And if you pay attention to what he's doing, then you understand he's doing it the right way. Because he does nothing the wrong way. Everything's right in God. And it has to be broken and it has to be crushed. And it has to be brought back into an old hunk of clay so God can begin to make a new person out of it, or a new potter's new pottery out of it. And that pain of crushing and molding, the hurt and the loss that comes with it, is something we don't want. We don't want that in our lives, but it has to be. He shapes us into a new vessel on the potter's wheel. And the scripture says, weeping and enduring may come in the night, but joy. When that new vessel comes out, there's joy. Joy comes in the morning. Then we really appreciate what God has done for us. That which we have to go through sometimes is our own choosing. What we have chosen to do, not just something that just happened. And if you're a true born-again believer, you'll recognize when God is testing your faith and when you've allowed Satan to come to work in your life. He doesn't need much room. That old devil, just give him a little crack in the door. He'll come right in. But when the master has completed his work, a new and a more beautiful vessel comes to life. And when the restoration is complete, he leads you out of the valley and into the path of righteousness. He restores my soul. That's the restoration. And he leads me in the path of righteousness. His righteousness, not ours. For his name's sake. The valley of the shadow of death is behind. No fear. Only victory ahead. I love Brother Winky's song. One more victory song. Oh, when the despair is behind us, when the valley of death is behind us and we've gone through, then there's joy and there's peace and there's victory in Jesus. Victory always comes in Jesus, not in us and our works and what we do. Oh, there's a lot of religions today that preach another Jesus. And that other Jesus is nothing more than works. What you can do, what I can do, what they can do, no. No. Our works are to glorify God. If our works do not glorify God, if God cannot see our faith and our works, as James said, our faith has to expose the works that we do, faith in God. If we do the works without faith, God doesn't recognize it. Go read the story of Cain and Abel and see which sacrifice God recognized. As we close this morning, our singers and musicians will come. Today you may feel like you are in the valley of despair, but God doesn't want you to live there. Oh, it's not a sin to get in that valley of despair. It's a sin to live there. When you have a God, a Savior who has given his life to restore you. Yes, we have discouraging times in life. Surely we do. That's the makeup of life. Thank Adam and Eve. I won't say any more about Adam and Eve because I get in trouble every time I do that. Because I blame it on Adam. You see, God didn't give dominion to Eve. He gave dominion to Adam. Adam should have told Eve, "Get behind me, Satan." What a way to close the message, huh? Yeah. She was tempted. But he was in charge. She could have stayed tempted. She could have eaten the fruit if she wanted to. But the judgment came when Adam gave up his dominion. Of course, he made an excuse. Eve blamed it on the serpent. Adam blamed it on Eve. And today we're still blaming it on somebody. But it's us. It's us. You see, God doesn't want you to live in the valley of despair, the valley of hopelessness. He wants you to be what he's made you to be, a vessel of honor. That's what he's created. When we got saved, he made us a vessel of honor, not of hopelessness. Beautiful and full of his glory. In the image and the likeness of God himself. Because Jesus will meet you in your valley of despair, in your time of mourning. He can and he will restore all that Satan has stolen from you. He can. And he will. You're never in the valley alone. Would you stand to your feet with us? In the dark recesses of your mind, Satan would keep you in the valley of despair. But you don't have to be there. When Jesus comes into view, the darkness is dispelled. When the light walks in, there's no more darkness. Jesus walks into your life. He lights it up. The light leads us out of the valley of despair. Would you bow your heads with us as we pray? Heavenly Father, we come once again thanking you for your word. Thanking you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that reveals your word to us. Thanking you that we have one who will restore us in our times of destitute and in the times when we're walking through the valley. Lord, we can hold on to the promise of restoration because your word says you will restore us. Keep our faith strong, Lord, Let us not give in to the devil, Satan, or any of his ways. Keep our faith strong, because we know that in these last days of grace, in these closing times, there's going to be many times when Satan would try to drag us down in that valley. But we're going to walk through the shadow, walk through the valley. Amen. Where Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy, we're going to have victory, because we have victory in Jesus. Amen. Let us worship the Lord as we bring our service to a close. And I will invite you to this altar if you are walking in that valley of despair this morning. It doesn't make you wrong, doesn't make you a sinner. All of us Christians get in that valley, but we can't stay there. We have to walk through it. There are many that we prayed for this morning that are in that valley of despair. Things seem hopeless. Don't know where it's going to go from here. But the one thing we have a promise of, He'll take us through. He'll take them through, just like He does for us. So while they sing some worship choruses here, if you need prayer this morning, we invite you to come and meet us at the altar, and we will certainly pray for you. Come and help us pray, if you will. We believe God for victory in this life this morning. There's victory in Jesus. Yes, there's victory in Jesus. As you pray the prayer of faith with us this morning, let's believe there's victory ahead for our sister this morning. Lord, Lord, we lift her up to you this morning. Bringing her into the very presence, the very holiest of holies with the Lord Jesus Christ. As she stands there in faith today, Lord, we ask for that restoration that she needs. She stands firm in her faith. The enemy is fighting, but the enemy is losing. There will always be victory for her in Jesus Christ. Lord, give her that strength now and give her that faith. As she walks through this valley, lifting her up, giving her strength to stand for those, Lord, that she prays for and believes for today. And in the process of it all, Lord, strengthen her. The joy of the Lord is hers today. The joy of the Lord that brings strength to her today. We believe you're giving her that joy and that peace in the midst of all the trials of life. Touching her life physically, bringing a healing to her, and a testimony of deliverance, Lord, of what you can do and what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Believe in God this morning. Believe in God this morning. Oh, yes, believe in God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Glory to God.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me. Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend to drive my